So it's that time of the week where we look at things that have happened on the football field, the other side of the Atlantic. Time for MLS Monday, joined as always by Drew Farmer. Drew, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Andy, it's good to be back and another great weekend of MLS action to talk with you about.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, before we talk MLS, let's quickly look back to something that happened last week. There was the US Open Cup, wasn't there?
Yes, there was the US Open Cup, and it was Sporting Kansas City taking on the Philadelphia Union in the final in Philadelphia. Sporting Kansas City has been fantastic, well, for most of the year, a bit inconsistent as of late, and Philadelphia really was playing for really the only thing that they could, the only thing that could really bring a smile to their face in that final. But it was Kansas City coming out on top after a 1-1 draw after extra time. They won on penalties 7-6 and lifted their third U.S. Open Cup, which is the domestic cup in the U.S., similar to the FA Cup here in the U.K., or here in England, sorry. And it's also their third trophy in four seasons. So Kansas City, though they may not have the profile of some of the other teams in MLS, they have quietly put together a brilliant club over the last few years. And Andy, I'm not sure if you watched MLS, geez, let's say 10 years ago, but this was a club that was really just kind of meandering around in Major League Soccer. And I can remember back in 2007 sitting in the Arrowhead Stadium, the NFL stadium in Kansas City, to watch a Sporting Kansas City game. Back then, they were known as the Kansas City Wizards. And it was just a bit sad. An 80,000-seat stadium with less than 10,000 people in it, and the play on the field wasn't that great. But, you know, it's just amazing what a rebranding can do with a name, and also what a new stadium can do to bring on a fan base.
Now, is it that fan base and the fact that they've just won in the Cup, can that maybe push Sporting KC to have a really good playoff run this term?
Well, I think it possibly could, because they had been lagging a bit after their semifinal win in the Cup competition. And over the weekend, they did beat Portland Timbers 1-0 thanks to a goal from Christian Namath, a former Liverpool youth player. And I think they could really push on, but they do have a bit of a thin squad right now. A lot of fatigue with that team, playing a lot of fixtures this season. So we'll just kind of have to see how they go. I don't think, in my opinion, they're not really the favorites to come out of the West for that MLS for the MLS final.
Let's move ourselves quickly to the East. As it stands, it's the Red Bulls who sit top of that conference. But if you go back, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, DC United seemed to be really up there, and they seemed to be not quite favourites, but I suppose they probably were, because they were sat at the top, weren't they, at the time?
Well, yeah, they were playing really well, and a lot of people were praising them for the type of play that Ben Olsen and DC United were playing. And let's see, they won over the weekend against New York City FC, a 90th-minute winner from Alvaro Tavarillo. But DC, it's their first win in 7 matches, Andy, and they've dropped 17 points over that course of time. They fell out of the top spot, and they were leading the race for the Supporters' Shield. A lot of people thought that they would bring that trophy home, which the Supporters' Shield, of course, is the team with the most points at the end of the regular season. But they're hurting just a bit at the moment, but they have clinched a playoff spot now, sitting second in the East and only 3 points behind New York Red Bulls. But you know, I'm not really sure. They're a bit of an iffy team right now.
Now, just before we look a bit more at the playoffs that are coming in the next few weeks, I just want to quickly ask, we've spoken quite extensively about the fact that Major League Soccer has had its status. It's risen quite a lot recently with a lot of the players that they've managed to bring in. This week, the announcement of the Italy squad for the Euro 2016 qualifiers sees Andre Pirlo of New York City FC and Sebastian Giovinco of Toronto FC. They've both been named in that squad. Now, if you go back 3 or 4 years, I don't think you would have seen anybody from MLS named in a squad of a country like Italy. So it really goes to show just where the league has come in recent times.
I think you're right about that, but I also want to just make a little caveat to that, that I think that shows the strength of the Italy squad right now. I don't think it's nearly necessarily the strongest squad that that the Italians have put out for some time. But that said, Pirlo, I really, you know, they're really relying on him with that Azzurri squad. He's been okay since coming to New York to play with New York City FC. But Giovinco, I think that's a fantastic reward for a player that has been absolutely outstanding and, in my opinion, has been the best, or if not one of the best, players in MLS this season. And really, I wouldn't be surprised if if there are a lot of teams in Europe, back in Italy, looking to bring him in January, possibly on a short-term loan or you know, trying to buy him back. But I don't think Toronto FC is going to be letting him go anytime soon.
Yeah, I think they want to cling on to Giovinco. So, right, we've got the playoffs in the next couple of weeks, Drew, and you and I, obviously, we talk in depth quite often about MLS. But for those who maybe listen to our MLS Monday update and they're really their knowledge of the league comes from what you and I say, as we go into the playoffs, what teams should they look out for? If there's maybe they've got an interest, they maybe see MLS on TV and they want to hang their support for one team, who would you say? Would you go for one of the more fancy teams like an LA Galaxy or a New York Red Bulls? I say fancy, not one of those who at least are a name more familiar to us in the UK. Or would you say actually it's somebody like a Whitecaps or an FC Dallas, or even, I know you like your Sporting KC, so somebody like that that a neutral over here should look to attach themselves to?
Well, to be honest, Andy, I don't think you can ever, until they show me that they can't do it, I don't think you can ever look past LA Galaxy. I think Bruce Arena is just a fantastic coach. He'll go down as the best U.S. coach in history, in my opinion. They've got some great players. Robbie Keane, of course, Giovanni Dos Santos, and Steven Gerrard, we've talked about at length before. They did draw over the weekend with Seattle Sounders, who are also fighting for a playoff place. They're currently in the fifth spot in the West. But I just don't think you can move past LA Galaxy at the moment. And I really would love to see a New York-Los Angeles final. We've never seen that in MLS. And I think that would be really good for the marketing of the league to have the two biggest cities in the country fighting it out for supremacy in Major League Soccer.
Just very quickly as well, you mentioned Bruce Arena there. He has managed the USA. He's been DC United, New York Red Bulls, now LA Galaxy head coach. Do you think he would ever fancy, I mean, he's 64 now, but do you think he would ever fancy a Premier League job, for example, the Sunderland at the moment? I mean, there might be Liverpool, but I suspect somebody else is already pretty much in there. But would you think he'd fancy it, or do you think he's quite happy where he is?
Well, I think he's quite happy where he is, but Andy, I think there's just that stigmatism to an American coach, as well as to American players still. They can't really step up to the big leagues, you know. I think, especially with coaching, it's just a different environment. Bruce Arena came from the university, the ranks of the university coaching, where he was a very good coach, and he joined MLS at the early stages of the league. And recently, we haven't seen a lot of coaches come from that realm. We've seen Portland's Caleb Porter come from there, but a lot of coaches now are coming from the ranks of being former MLS players. So I just don't really see a lot of coaches from Major League Soccer making the move over to England especially. Now, last year, Newcastle fans will remember that John Carver was, well, I guess, coach there at the end of the season, and he was a former coach at Toronto FC. They didn't make the playoffs during his time. They weren't that special. And we saw how Newcastle ended up at the end of last year.
Music and sport, all on crystal clear digital radio. This is Radio Yorkshire.